What up, people? It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast. I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. It's your boy. I'm Chris the Don One, and welcome to another fabulous rendition of Everybody Hates Chris. On Everybody Hates Chris podcast, I talk about relationship, give you guys relationship advice. I also talk about stories from retail, also freaky tales, stories about my life that you can laugh, get a little chuckle on, as well as learn a thing or two, okay? Subscribe to me on all platforms, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast indulgement from. Also, hit the links in the description below if you want to check me out on my social handles such as YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. I'm everywhere and I'm all about it. All right, we're about to get into and tackle another life story from your boy. I'm Chris the Don One. Peace and love, guys. Okay, so this episode is called Lisa Rae Had a Mad Crush on Me and I Did Not Know It. Okay, fam, Lisa Rae had a mad crush on your boy and I did not know it. Don Squad in the house, stand up, salute. Let's tackle it and get it in, all right? So basically, I was working at this retail store, all right? You know, they hired me. You know, I did a good job. I came in. The one thing I like about working at this grocery store, I got paid every week, all right? So every Thursday or Friday, I get a check. You know, I get money and I get to do what I want to do with it, all right? So this grocery store, which I won't self-incriminate me, hired me. And I was, they first hired me for, you know, the grocery crew, all right? I was working evenings. You know, it was okay and all, but, you know, I preferred to work in the morning because I just want to get in, do my 8 hours, and hit the gate. Do my eight, get out the gate, enjoy the rest of the day before the day ended. But unfortunately, they hired me for the evening. So I was asking the boss, is there any way I can work on the daytime? He said, well, I don't really have any availabilities. I really don't have any work for you in the daytime in on the grocery side of things. But if you really want to work in on the daytime, I can put you up on the front end. Now, for those who've been living under a rock, I'd like your boy to explain. The front end is where, you know, I guess, you know, the front end is where you can become a bagger, a cashier. You can work in the office, you know, front end. I had no experience on the front end. I just assumed the front end was just like any other, any other department. Okay. I thought the front end was like produce. I thought it was like grocery. I thought it was like the night crew, you know, just a bunch of people just doing what they got to do. All right. Unfortunately, when I got into the front end is where the most toxic and messy people on the face of this God-loving planet resides at, okay? You got the most unproductive, lazy, toxic behavior on the front. And, you know, I don't know if this is true in every retail store or every grocery store, but next time, go check it out. Why is there more females up front than they are males, all right? And why there's so many, it's less men on the front end. You get to see everything else, every other gender, except a lot of men up front. And I learned real fast, real quick, why is that so? So my first couple of weeks, everyone's trying to keep everything close to their vest. You know, they really ain't telling me. You know, they really ain't, you know, jumping out on the, you know, jumping out there saying this is who I am and this, that, and the third. You know, everyone is just basically, you know, saying the basic stuff, the basic language. How you doing? I'm fine. I'm so-and-so. I'm this, you know. And the first 2 weeks, everything was cool because, you know, nobody really came at me or told me what they are about and what they believed in, this, that, and the third. Well, after 4 months, you know, people just can't, you know, hide who they really are. And when you discover who people really are, you be saying to yourself, I wish these people would have told me this I wish you people would have told me this a lot sooner, like the first couple of days when I transferred up front. Because if I knew people were like this, I wouldn't have transferred up front. Okay, so there's this guy named Greg. I have nothing against Greg. I think Greg is a wonderful person, but Greg only wants to do what Greg wants to do. Greg is, you know, let's just say Greg is a little zesty, if you get what I'm saying. Greg is a little fruity, if you get what I'm saying. But, you know, he was a positive guy to people that he liked. Anybody that he don't like, he gives attitudes, all right? So, you know, Greg was cool, you know, he never, you know, came on, he never, you know, tried to, you know, come up to me or try to, you know, I'm like this, look, I don't care what you believe in, I don't care who you are or what you refer yourself to, as long as you don't push your agendas on me, everything's cool, all right? And, you know, Greg wasn't like that, so I kind of like Greg, all right? But you definitely don't want to be on Greg's bad side. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, okay? Now, this other girl, her name was Holly. Holly was, like, pushing 55, all right? Holly was very, very slow. And I don't know why they have Holly, the slowest person on Express Lane. I'm thinking your most fastest cashier should be on the Express Lane. Well, there's a backstory to Holly. Holly used to push carts and would be gone missing for hours and hours and hours. Meanwhile, there's no carts in the store. And Holly would make all these excuses of she had to go across the street and get carts. She had to go 3 miles to go get carts. She noticed there was some carts like miles away from the store that she had to go get. Anyway, Holly could not be accounted for when she was a bagger. All right. So, and plus she was very slow bagging, so slow, it's like she's going in backwards, like she's going in time, and she's just going backwards. It's like she hopped in the DeLorean and went back to the future. Holly, if you was a customer and you was waiting on Holly to finish bagging your groceries, Holly would not be done bagging your groceries, all right? So that's why a lot of customers would just rather just help her bag, or help bag alone, or just do it themselves, whatever, all right? So they had to put Holly somewhere, so they put Holly on the Express Lane. I don't know why you put the slowest person on the Express Lane, but when you think about it, if you put Holly on a big lane, you know, it's counterproductive, and if you put her out there getting carts, she's going to be lost in the sauce, all right? So that's Holly, all right? Then this girl named Julie, she would rub her hands like Birdman. Julie was a bagger, and she was kind of, you know, special, okay? Like, she just got off the school bus, the little school bus. Julie had no issues with Julie, but Julie, you could not find Julie because Julie would be lost in the sauce as well. But they couldn't put Julie on the register because they would have problems. They would have serious problems to put Julie on the register. Julie gets lost in the sauce and gets confused instant, like instant oatmeal. So you're not gonna put Julie on a register. So they just keep her on bagging. Now the one crazy thing about Julie is Julie would talk and talk and talk and talk. All right, Julie would stand up and talk, but Julie is not talking to nobody. At least nobody that you can see with your own eyes, with your own naked eyeballs. You didn't know who Julie was talking to. All you just saw was Julie, you know, posted up against the wall, looking at the wall, talking to somebody. Now, I don't know if it's the invisible man or the invisible woman. I don't know if it's one of her play school friends that, you know, she never grew up and her imaginary friend didn't grow up either. And now, you know, the grocery store it's got two employees, Julie and her invisible friend. But Julie would just constantly talk by herself, all right? You know, we didn't pay no mind. You know, we didn't even mention it. As long as Julie had her medication, she was all good in the hood for us, all right? So that's Julie, all right? And then they would have Samuel. Now, Samuel started off as a cashier. And, you know, Samuel was Jewish. He was like a nerd. He was a Jewish dude that had an afro. That's the first time I ever saw a Jewish dude that had an afro. Samuel reminds me of that character that Al Pacino played. Oh my God, I can't think of that old school movie. Anyway, he was not Scarface, but his next popular movie. Samuel reminded me of that guy from that movie, all right? Samuel was cool and everything like that. And then there was a girl, the boss of the store, I mean, the floor supervisor of the store, her name was Donna. Donna was old, okay? Donna looked like she was about to check out of the Life Motel any day now, all right? She was way past where her expiration date, okay? So Donna worked there long enough till they found her replacement. And they found her replacement. Now, this lady is, I'm not going to say her full government name. Her name was Darlene. So Darlene came from another grocery store from this grocery chain. And they just closed this store down. So, you know, I have never in my life worked at a place where they just closed the business down. All right. Well, they closed this store down because of, you know, they wasn't making the money, this, that, and the third, whatever. And they closed this store down, and everybody that worked at that store had to transfer to other stores. And this was the closest thing Darlene can get to. Now, it's kind of funny because Darlene lives a long way from the store, all right? I mean, she lives like 3 or 4 counties away from the store. And I'm saying to myself, self, how come Darlene didn't transfer to a store that was close to her? I found out later on why that is so. So anywho, Darlene, if I had to describe Darlene was middle-aged. She was light-skinned. She had some beautiful eyes. Darlene had the sexiest bedroom eyes. She had these aqua eyes. I mean, beautiful eyes. And they were almost literally changing color, you know, during the season. Like in the summertime, Darlene's eyes would be bright aqua, but in the wintertime, it's like a dull green. I guess it's the reflection of the sun or the reflection of the light. But Darlene was light skinned, had these pretty eyes. She's from New Orleans. She's a Creole girl, New Orleans. You know, she's got all the great mix, when you call to ethnic mixes in her, okay? She's the perfect beef stew. I mean, potluck stew. She had everything. She had a mixture of black. She had a mixture of white. She had a mixture of French. She looked good, okay? Darlene, as far as her being middle-aged, she looked good. I would love to see Darlene when she was like in her 20s, because I guarantee you couldn't tell her nothing in her 20s. I guarantee you Darlene was a dime piece, okay? Darlene could be some trouble for you, all right? So, pretty eyes, pretty skin, pretty face, would smile occasionally, but Darlene would always come in with a bad attitude, all right? And I'll tell you a little bit later why Darlene had a bad attitude, all right? So, and Darlene, if Darlene was a doppelganger, Darlene would be the doppelganger of Lisa Ray. Now, for those who've been living under a rock, I'd like your boy to explain. Lisa Ray, back in the 90s, used to be this actress. She still is a good actress. I think she's on some show on BET. But Lisa Ray, what breakout role was, the girl that was on The Players Club. I can never remember Lisa Ray's character name on The Players Club. I just knew Lisa Ray was on The Players Club, okay? And back in the day, Lisa Ray looked fine in The Players Club. I'm telling you guys, you should go watch this movie, The Players Club. It was directed by Ice Cube. It was I say it's in the top 5 of best black films in the 90s, in my humble opinion, okay? But it was The Players Club. So, and Darlene reminded me of an older Lisa Ray. Not a younger Lisa Ray, but a younger Lisa Ray. But, you know, still look good. Now, Darlene is married, okay? Now, she told me her husband's name, but I forgot it. But there was a girl that used to work there, and I forgot her name. She told me that her husband looks just like Chris Rock. I don't know if that's true or not, but it looks, you know, he looks just like Chris Rock. Which, food for thought, people thought that I looked like Chris Rock. I don't know if people just think all black men look like Chris Rock. I can see some similarities to me and Chris Rock as far as features go. I have some of Chris Rock's features, but I don't say I'm a one-on-one copy and paste duplicate of Chris Rock. But anyway, I had to go by what, you know, I forgot, Rashandra. Yeah, Rashandra said that. Rashandra said that Darlene's husband is a splitting image of Chris Rock, and he's a pastor. He also do handiwork on the side, you know. You know, I mean, you got to get in where you fit in, okay? I thought he had a good job, all right? So, Darlene, really didn't mention her husband a lot. And when you try to talk to Darlene, she just didn't want you to get in her business because she feels like her business is personal business. I feel like some business is personal business. And, you know, you shouldn't be freely going out there telling everybody your business. But I think, like, other stuff, like being married and this, that, and the third, you know, I mean, you're showing off the ring. I mean, why you don't... She really didn't talk too much about her husband, okay? I didn't think it was weird, okay? Because I have never been married before, all right? I just didn't think it was weird, but... you know, someone could probably think that's weird. I don't know. So, Darlene would love hanging around Rashandra and love hanging around this other dude. I forgot this other bagger. His name is Morrell. Now, Morrell was them two were good friends of Darlene because Darlene would always be around those two. And then I'd be noticing when Darlene be, talking to them, Darlene would start looking up at me. And I'm going like, I don't know what's going on. What's the problem? All right. Now, Rashandra would tell me bits and pieces that Darlene would talk about me. Okay. And I look at it as when people talking about you, but you're not part of the conversation, but you're part of the discussion. I look at it as you're bad mouthing me. All right, because whatever you're saying around them, how come you're not saying it around me? Okay, so I just took, and in the beginning, I took it as, you know, maybe, you know, she doesn't think of me as a friend. Maybe, you know, this, you know, I didn't really, you know, look at her being a friend. I just looked at her as an employee. We would occasionally talk, but I could tell I irritate her a lot. Okay. And at first, I would be very playful to Darlene. Not too playful, but very playful to Darlene. You know, I would say things that I know that would irritate her because, you know, she always told us she don't like it when someone calls her a baby. All right? So I would every once in a while call her a baby. Now, I didn't think of Darlene as a work babe or I had a thing for Darlene. I just, every once in a while, I would, you know, joke. And I'm thinking that she likes to joke because she's laughing. But, you know, when she's talking to Morrell and Rashandra, you know, they're telling me like, yeah, she don't like that baby thing. So I stopped calling her baby. Okay. So it was a constant to me. It was like an inner civil war. I mean, it started building. At first, you know, me and Darlene would, occasionally we'll talk and then it will upgrade to, occasionally talking, but then, you know, she would say things right in front of my face. And I'd be like, oh, what do you mean by that? Okay. Like, she would say to people that, you know, if they don't work the type of availability she wants them to work, she would consider those people bankers because they would like to work banker hours. And she would say that to me. And I'm going like, at first I didn't understand what she was saying, but basically what she's saying is that I'm always working in the daytime. I don't want to work at night. Okay. And at first I thought that she had an issue with my availability, but I soon later found out that Darlene doesn't like working, nights. Okay. And she would like for someone else to work nights so she can have some nights off. If she would have just said it like that, then I can sympathize with her. And if I'm available to work some nights, or change some of my days to nights, I probably would, you know, think about doing it. Okay. It was just a way, it was like, Darlene would never ask people. She would never ask someone to do something for her. Okay. It was almost to the effect of, if she's asking you, then, that's a weakness. She just rather tell you to do it. All right. So I didn't understand the dynamics of that, but hey, whatever. So, Darlene would, Darlene needed a backup. All right. And the note was posted. I mean, the backup position was posted. It's been posted for a long, long time and nobody would fill it. All right. Nobody would want to be her backup. Rayshonda didn't want to be her backup. No matter, you know, Morel didn't want to be her backup. A lot of people, just Greg, you know, Greg has the experience because, you know, Greg, you know, used to, you know, be a backup at another location. But he was transferred to this location because of, you know, him doing his own thing. And he would, you know, like for instance, like he would be in charge of customer service and people would ask him, they need a Western Union. And then Greg would forward those people to the store that he's transferred at right now, because he would always say the Western Union machine is broken. And, he told that to one customer, and one customer told someone from corporate. And then that person, told, the store manager's boss from corporate. And, they jumped on Greg, and then they forced Greg to just transfer to the store he's at now. Okay. So it is what it is. So, I would think Greg would be a perfect, but Greg and Darlene had history. Didn't know how deep was the history was, but they had some deep history that was not good. Okay. Let's put it that way. All right. So nobody would apply for the position. So one day I'm just in the break room, just getting my break on. Then Darlene walked up to me and then she said, "Hey, I got an idea. Won't you become my backup?" And I thought about it for a second. I said, "Yeah, that'd be cool. I could, I could apply for your backup." So I put my, so I signed my name on the post, and, I thought I was going to get it because no one else, I was going to get it out of default because no one else applied for the position. So the manager at that time felt like it would be a good idea for me to be her backup. And he just tore that post down and reapplied and then put up another post. Okay. At first he didn't tell me, but then, you know, cause I kept asking people, well, why would he do that? And then he just told me. Now I feel like low key, he didn't want me to do it. And that's fine and dandy. You know, I don't care. You know, if I get the position or if I don't get the position, I'm still Chris either way. All right. So, they put the post up again. Nobody would fill out for it. Now, Samuel, the Jewish guy that I was telling you, ultimately filled out the position and got the position. All right. Now, Samuel is cool and all. I feel like Samuel has plenty of book smarts. He knows the right words to say to management. He knows how to do the job. The one thing that scares me about Samuel has not a lick of street smarts in him. All right. And he thinks the backup position is like a management position. All right. He just perceives himself that way. And Samuel would never go on the register. Samuel hates the register. Samuel would never push carts. Samuel hates carts. Therefore, we're looking at each other going like, well, what's Samuel's going to do? I mean, he doesn't want to be on the register. He doesn't want to push cards. All Samuel did every time he went in there was talk to his friends at night. Okay. Samuel come in around 1:30 and then his friends will start trickling in like 1:30, 2 o'clock, 3:30, Judith and all them. And he would love to talk to them. And we will have huge lines after 3 p.m. So after 3 p.m., there will be huge, huge. I mean, there will be lines longer than train smoke. It'll be lines longer than welfare lines. That's how long the lines were. So management, you know, had a meeting and they said, we don't have enough coverage for the primetime hours. So he wanted Darlene to start closing more and Samuel will be with her too. So on the busiest days, Darlene had to close the store with Samuel. So Darlene would be in a register, and, you know, Samuel would just, you know, be on self-checkout. He'd just be floating, all right? And Darlene would get mad pissed off about it because first and foremost, she has to work nights, okay? She doesn't want to do that. Two, she's getting pissed off because she's doing all the work and Samuel is just hanging around like it's a nightclub, okay? So she would get mad pissed off at Samuel, all right? And this is where my last 4 years working up front went from bad to worse because Darlene just had an attitude with everybody up front. She would attack people, this, that, and the third, all right? So, you know, people would ask her, but she would never, you know, answer the question and, you know, she would just blow it off, okay? So, Morrell told me something that I did not know. And by that time, I was working with Darlene for like, okay, I've been up front for like, I was up front for 7 years. And the first 3 years, I did not know. I swear, I did not know. Because I just assume, you know, Darlene was a church woman and she ain't about, you know, messing up her situation or being connected or anything like that. And Morrell told me, he said, you know, Darlene got a mad crush on you when you first got here. I said, what? Yeah, when you first transferred up front, Darlene had a mad crush on you. I said, well, why she didn't tell me? Okay, why in the hell she didn't tell me? And he said, you know how Darlene is. Darlene don't really say too much, all right? And that's when I understood and that's where I understood why women, like y'all women, y'all know what y'all want in a relationship. Y'all just don't know how to, you know, when you see all those things, you don't know how to introduce yourself to a good situation or a good thing. I'm not saying me and Darlene would have been in a relationship, but, you know, here's what I'm saying. Peep what I'm saying. All right, so she would have a lot of talk game when she's joking on me. She would constantly talk to me. She would have paragraphs after paragraphs after paragraphs. When she's taking them hit shots at me, them subliminals, she would have paragraph after paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. Nothing but talk, okay? When she wants me to do something work-related, she would have paragraph after paragraph after paragraph on that type of talking. But when it comes to you got a crush on somebody, you ain't got nothing to say. What? Okay. So Darlene had a mad crush on me. Okay. And I said, what? Darlene got a crush on me? Not Lisa Ray. Not Lisa Ray from Players Club. She's got a mad crush on me. And I did not know that. All right. So, of course, I literally ran and got knocked on the account room. And I said, Darlene, somebody told me something interesting. She said, what you talking about? Like, she, you know, she had that squinch look on her face. And, you know, like she just act, like she just got through eating a Sour Patch candy, candy cane or whatever. So I'm saying, yeah, someone told me that you had a crush on me. And, you know, I did not know this, that you had this big crush on me. And she said, I ain't got no crush on you. She would literally, you know, say, look, I ain't got no crush. You know that I'm married, this, that, and the third. And you know, trying to blow it off. I didn't, you know, I said, okay, cool. I didn't say much of it. Okay. I was, you know, I was joking and I was being playful, but I really wanted to know, did she have a crush on me or not? And, you know, women are not going to admit when they have a crush on the other guy. Okay. Women want the guys, if they got a thing for a woman will want the guy to let her know that he's got a crush on her. A woman wouldn't mind a guy to, you know, flirt with her. But when it comes to when you got a crush on somebody, now all of a sudden you're clamming up, you know, you're not bumping them gums no more. Okay. So, everyone thought that she had a crush on me, and, you know, it was just too many people telling me the same thing, that, you know, Lisa Ray from around the way, Darlene, had a crush on me. Okay. And I did not know of this. Okay. So, my last 2 years up front did not go very well. It did not go very well. It just seems like my relationship with Darlene had just fizzled. Okay. Work relationship, not personal relationship, but work relationship. Okay. And all of a sudden, she would be very snippet at me. She would be argumentative. You know, she would argue with me on the most pettiest stuff. She would, you know, it just went sour real fast, real quick. And I sometimes sit there and say to myself, is it because I never picked up on the part that she had a crush on me or whatever? You know, Darlene just soured those last 2 years. And would, you know, pick fights with me, would argue with me, this, that, and the third. So, shout out to Damien. Damien told me that Darlene's life at home is not going well, all right? The Chris Rock wannabe, her husband, it seemed like they done divorced and broke up, all right? But I would never know that because Darlene would always wear that wedding ring, that wedding band. Okay. So it seems like they've been arguing. I don't know if the argument was based on finances or anything like that. But I felt like the argument had to start with her car. So Darlene, when she first got there, she had like an older car. I can't remember how what type of car she had, but it was like an older car. Then she upgraded to an Audi. It was like a gold Audi. I mean, that mother looked fine. That mother looked good. All right. After a year of the Audi started breaking down, having problems. Okay, so Darlene got out of that Audi and got into a red, fire truck red Honda Accord. And I like the Honda Accord, okay? But she got out of that car super fast because she would always say, yeah, I got that car too. It's sitting in the driveway. And I know she doesn't have that car in the driveway. Now, I've heard she was upside down on the Audi, okay? And she had to take anything that was left off of the Audi, she had to put it up against she had to still pay that as well as the Honda Accord. They would pretty much make the Honda Accord super expensive. And it seems like that was a decision that he didn't want to do. And it put a burden on their finances probably. And they probably was already, their relationship was fizzling out on some other stuff too. You know, she would never tell me. Now, she would tell everybody else at the workplace about her personal problem, but she would never tell me. All right. But she would give me the illusion that they're together. So, I left the front end and I went back to grocery because grocery had morning availability available. All right. And, you know, at first, you know, my first 2 months in grocery, you know, I would say hi to Darlene and she would never say hi back to me. So I don't know if Darlene was mad at me on the decision I made, or maybe she was just mad. She's still upset about her husband, you know, because, you know, she's a very private, prideful type of woman. And, you know, she was going through a lot of stuff, but I didn't push it. Okay. So one day I was like, at the break room, and I was sitting there, you know, eating my food. And then Darlene, you know, came in there, and then, you know, I said hi to her and she said, "Hey, Chris," you know, but she said it kind of tired. Like, so, I just said, "Okay, well, you know, at least she said hi." So I said, "So what's up? What's been going on with you?" And, you know, we started talking. You know, you always got to, when you want to know something about somebody, instead of somebody just giving you these cavalier answers, you just got to, they're like a block of ice, okay? Obviously, they're not going to tell you what's going on in their lives because they don't feel comfortable at that moment. But if you keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, you're going to get to the crux of their issues, or if they have issues in their personal life. And she just started talking to me. She didn't break down or anything like that. She just started talking to me. She told me about her relationship with her husband. They don't have a relationship. She talked about how he still wants her back and this, that, and the third. And, you know, she started talking about, just about her life, you know. And low key, I thought that, you know, she was going to, you know, ask, you know, was going to ask me, well, what I do late in, you know, because Darlene been married so long that she doesn't know what single people do. Okay. So I started, you know, telling her, okay, you know, I'm low key, you know, telling her, but I'm really low key telling her, well, you know, being single is great. You know, you get to go to bed whenever you want to. You get to go wherever you want to, you know, like, do you like going to movies? You like going to dance? You like to, you know, what you like doing? And, you know, I found out in that 15 minutes, I knew more about Darlene in that 15 minutes than my whole 7 years with Darlene. You know, Darlene is really a shy person. And she really doesn't want people in her business. And I can respect that. I can really respect that. Why she would, you know, be that way. Okay. And obviously there's stuff that has happened in her life that, you know, at that time she didn't want to discuss or talk about. I wasn't trying to pry. But Darlene was, you know, a very shy individual. Okay. So, you know, I knew more about Darlene in those 15 minutes than I ever knew about her in 7 years. And, you know, we started talking a lot more. You know, she had a birthday. I bought her some wine. She likes to drink wine. I bought her I bought her some flowers. Cause I'm really feeling sorry for Darlene because, you know, hey, you know, we all been there. You know what I'm saying? We all have had ups and downs in our relationship. We have been in relationships where we had to end. It just ain't good. It just really ain't good. I don't care how much you dislike a person. If you know a person is going through some things, you know, you try to, you know, make, you try to make their situation as best or as good as possible. Okay. And now when I talk to Darlene, you know, she's in a totally different space. She's smiling a lot more. She's more cheerful. So I don't know if when she had an attitude, maybe she, the reason why she was having attitudes when she was married, you know, maybe the married life wasn't good. Maybe, her, you know, maybe her husband, the Chris Rock lookalike, just didn't make her happy or just didn't do things to make her happy. And that's why she was lashing out on all of us. She was lashing out on all of us not because of us as people. She was lashing out at us because of her situation that she found herself with her husband, okay? But ever since, you know, she done got the divorce, you know, she's more, it just seems like this burden that she had on her back has been lifted, okay? And she just in a better place and in a better mood right now. And you know, can't do nothing but respect that. Can't do nothing but respect that. So that's Lisa Ray had a mad crush on me, okay? Now, Samuel. Boy, let me tell you something about Samuel. Samuel. There's this dude named Samuel. He was Darlene's backup. This man could not do nothing right. He was Dudley Doolittle. This man could not do nothing right. He didn't do not one single thing right, okay? It was this one time Samuel was... Samuel loves power. Samuel's end game is to be president of this grocery store chain, okay? But he feels like he has to do it. He has to kiss ass to get at the top. Low-key, Samuel is a, like I told y'all guys, Samuel is bright, he's smart, but the one thing about Samuel is he has no common sense, all right? He has no street smart, all right? Case in point. So Samuel, they're telling him about this shoplifter. This shoplifter will come in every once in a while, just buy wine. I mean, what? Buy wine. Steal wine. So as the dude was walking out of the store, Samuel tried to stop him outside the store. That's not a good look. All right. So Samuel was confronting him about the wine. Does he have a receipt? This, that, and the third. And dude was not having it. Dude said, "Hey man, I don't feel comfortable right now. I just don't really feel comfortable." Okay. So Samuel, started to corner him from his car. So Samuel started trying to take a picture of this guy or make a video of this guy. And the guy snatches the phone from Samuel, threw the phone on top of the store roof. Okay. Samuel just run around like a chicken with his head cut off. And all Samuel was saying as he was running back and forth around the store going, "You got to do that. You got to do that." Okay. And I look at Samuel and I said, "But Samuel, he just did." So Samuel's iPhone is at the top of the roof. Then Samuel looked at me and asked me to, is there any way I can go up on the roof and get his phone? I'm like, "Samuel, you can do it yourself. You can just go to the back of the store, go up the steps, and you can just go on the roof and get your phone yourself." Samuel told me right then and there that he's scared of heights, okay? You scared of heights, but you ain't scared to get your ass beat, okay? That's what I'm trying to figure out, okay? You got a phobia on heights, but you don't have no phobia on getting your butt kicked, okay? Because that guy could have kicked your butt, and the only reason why come that guy didn't kick your ass because I was standing there, and he thought that I was going to intervene. And I'm going to be real with you, Samuel. I would not intervene. I would just stood there and stay on my ground. Now, as long as he don't come up on me and press up on me, I'm good. I'm all good in the hood, okay? But if he started, throwing them bowls and throwing them goddamn elbows at your face, okay, and you up here getting CTE scans for the rest of your life, I'm just letting you know that I'm not going to help you, okay? I'm not going to intervene. I'm not going to do none of that stuff, okay? But Samuel got his phone threw up on the roof. A customer did Samuel a favor. He went to the back of the store. We let him go to the back of the store. He went up the steps and grabbed Samuel's phone from the roof and gave it to Samuel. Okay, that's one classic story about this store. Another classic story about this store. Oh my God, this has to be funny. All right, so remember I was telling y'all about Holly, you know, the slowest cashier that we got. Holly's quote that if Holly had social media and there's a bio on her social media account that she has to fill, this would be on her bio on social media. It would be like, they have their speed and I have mine. Damien said one time, yeah, there's fast, then there's slow, and below that is Holly, okay? Holly would be on the register on self-checkout, or excuse me, express lane, and it'd be moments Holly would literally scan two items together. I mean, well, two orders together. Holly would scan two freaking orders together. I don't know how a person can scan two orders back to back as slow as Holly is. Okay. I don't get that. I swear I do not get that. So Holly would, I don't know how Holly did it. Holly is too slow for her to make a mistake like that. How in the world you scan two orders on one ticket? Okay. So the first order, that person had done bagged their groceries and they're long gone. All right. While the second person is still finishing, is waiting for Holly to finish up scanning and then walk around the register to bag. Now, Holly had a bag rack right in front of her, but Holly would literally tell the person to order and then slow walk away from the bag rack that's right in front of her all the way to the end of the check line. All right. So when she told this person their amount, they're going like, wait a minute, I only got like three items. How come it got up to that price? So Holly starts looking at the receipt, start looking up at the monitor, start looking down at the receipt, start looking up at the monitor, just going back and forth, scratching her head, looking at all those groceries at the end of her a belt, and looks right back up at the monitor. Customer is getting furious. All right. Customer is getting furious. Customer, I didn't know Holly had a problem until the customer said, excuse me, sir, excuse me, could you please help this young lady? I'm like, young lady, you mean Holly? Okay. So I walk up to Holly. All right. I say, Holly, what's the problem? Holly would take forever to tell you the most simplest stuff. Have you ever met somebody like that? Someone, the most simplest thing to describe, it takes you forever. Like, she has to, you know, in order for me to help her, she would have to go into this whole dialogue of a story. She's got an intro, she's got the story, she's got the outro, okay? I have to listen to this whole entire story to figure out what the hell Holly's doing, all right? Come to find out, then I coined a phrase about Holly, because Holly has done this multiple times. So before she even starts her story, I said, Holly, did you do a two for one? Holly, did you do a two for one? And she'll go, yeah. Now the customer is like, post like, what's a two for one? And I'm looking at the customer going, well, she scans two orders on one ticket, all right? So Holly did a two for one, all right? So now I have to, I don't know why Holly doesn't, you know, tell me before she cashes it out, okay? Sometimes she'll cash it out and then send them to customer service, and then now I got to take the extra items off of the ticket, when she can just literally just tell me before she cash it out. I can just delete the orders off the order, and she can still ring them up, Okay, I don't know why Holly is in a rush. Okay, I don't understand why Holly's in this big rush. Holly, you're slower than a slow drip. Okay, you're slower than next Easter. Okay, so why are you in a rush to get these people out of the way when you shouldn't even be in a rush? All right. So, and on top of that, sometimes I have to get on the register to help her line go down. So that makes it twice as hard. Okay. So now I'm on two registers. I'm on the register next to her. And now I got to go to customer service and use their register to fix this order. Okay. So now I'm dealing with two customers. I'm handling two customers almost at the same time. Meanwhile, Holly is just lost in the sauce. Okay. So Holly will always do these two for ones. All right. So there you have that. All right. Now, there used to be a bagger by the name of Cindy. Cindy, she was special. Okay. I'm not talking about a beautiful mind special. I'm just talking about short bus special. Okay. Cindy would get offended when you just ask her, can she go to that register and bag those groceries? You can ask it in the nicest of nicest tones. Cindy will look at it as you're trying to insult her. No, nobody's not trying to insult you, Cindy. We just want you to just go help the other cashier bag the rest of the groceries. Cindy, I mean, she just had those moments. So here's a Cindy story. So Cindy was arguing on the phone with her husband about something. I don't know. Both of them are special. Both of them are slow. They're slow. All right. So Cindy's husband came to the workplace. I guess to continue the argument. I don't know why he's doing that. So Cindy is going back and forth with her husband on the front end at the busiest time of the year with customers everywhere. So I had to walk over there and I said, yo, Cindy, there's a time and place for everything. This is definitely not the time, definitely not the place. Okay, it's bad enough that you was arguing with them on the phone while you working. Now this fool done hung up, got off the phone with you, and drove all the way out here to your workplace to argue with you face to face. So they're still arguing. So I said, yo, Cindy, won't you and your husband go outside and finish y'all conversation? It wasn't really no conversation, it was an argument. So I relieved Cindy of her duties. I'm up here bagging. And, you know, 5 minutes go by, you know, I wasn't thinking nothing much about Cindy. Then Cindy comes rushing into the store and she's screaming at the top of her lungs. Her husband just hit her, call 911. And, I said, okay, I'll call 911. So, I apologize to the customer. I went to the customer service desk. I dialed 911. All right. And the police arrested Cindy's husband at her workplace. Okay. Because they got into a little dispute. Okay. Which is kind of, you know, it's not funny, but it sort of kind of is because Cindy had to bail him out. Cause no one else would bail him out. Cindy had to literally go downtown to bail him out so he can go back to work. All right. So that's a Cindy story. That's my Cindy story of this podcast. Cindy was cray cray. All right. Cindy no longer works at the company. She finally had enough and she quit. I think she retired. So, you know, Cindy. All right. So there used to be this guy named, I forgot his name. Ben, we'll just call him Ben. All right. So, Ben he used to be this old black dude. And he would have an afro. He would have a Gary Coleman's afro. And he would bag groceries, okay? And he would, you know, bag groceries. And at first, you know, nobody thought much of it. But when Julie needs help getting cards, she would, you know, get Ben to help her get cards. And we would just think they out there getting cards. Come to find out, they caught Ben and Julie, well, Ben grinding on Julie on the side of the store. They up here, he's up here grinding on this girl. I mean, this woman. He up here grinding. They both slow. Well, Julie's slow. He's just slow for no reason. All right. So he's up here grinding on Julie on the side of the store in the middle of the day. Across the street, there's some apartments. And above them is a security camera. And they recorded the whole thing. And I feel like 3 or 4 weeks after that, they called Ben upstairs. And then Ben just left the company. I don't know if they gave him an ultimatum. Either leave the company or you're going to be fired. I don't know if it's one of them type of situations. I'm pretty sure it was. And then he went on and worked at the competitor's store. And every once in a while, he would come into the store. Well, Mr. Cook's store manager was not happy with that, so he banned him from the store. So he was banned away from the store until Mr. Cook retired like 3 years later. And then when he found out Mr. Cook was retired, he felt like the ban, it wasn't a lifetime ban. And since Mr. Cook ain't there, there's no need for him to continue to stay banned. So he'll occasionally go in the store, talk to Julie. I just thought that was a weird dynamic. So Darlene would talk to Julie and just tell Julie the situation because she felt like Julie was being taken advantage of. So she said, Julie, are you okay? You're not hurt, you know? And Julie said, no. And then Julie said she liked it. Okay. So I don't know. You know, that was the most weirdest story, you know, I have ever been accustomed to or being associated with. I just thought it was, you know, weird. And hey, it is what it is. Okay. It is what it is. Okay. So yeah. And that I would say it is it. You know, I could tell y'all real fast, real quick, tell y'all a quick story about Morrell. Morrell left the company. You know, first Morrell transferred to another location and then worked there for a couple of months. And then he transferred back to his old location. And, you know, Morrell was cool. I ain't had no issues with Morrell, but the problem with Morrell is he loves to ask for money, but he hates to pay people their money back. Okay. He'll give people these hard up stories talking about he broke, you know, his girlfriend done put child support on him. He got like 3 little girls. I mean, 3 beautiful little girls. And, I'm pretty sure child support is just draining him. Plus I heard, you know, he used to live with his mom and his mom, is, you know, in assisted living. And so she had to leave that apartment behind and, you know, he just couldn't keep up with the rent. And I don't know what's going on with Morrell living arrangements, but Morrell would constantly ask people for money. Now, I got a mechanism on when people be asking me money. I just simply tell them I ain't got it. All right. But you know, I'm associated and work with a bunch of people that are too kind. They pockets are too deep and they are too kind. They love giving people money, particularly giving people money that they already owe you money. You haven't seen that money yet. And now they're asking you for more money and you just giving it to them. Okay. You know, anyway, you know, everybody, had a soft spot for Morrell. So Morrell owed the whole store money. No one has gotten their money back. All right. So Morrell ended up quitting and didn't pay none of these people their money. Okay. Renee, he owes Renee $50. He owes, oh my God, he owes Edmund some money, some real significant money. He owes a lot of people a lot of money. And man, y'all might as well just say y'all donated that. Y'all donated that money. Y'all not getting not one red cent of that money. Y'all just donated that money. God damn. All right. But yeah, I wasn't for all that. My money is too valuable for me. I work too hard for my money to then just throw my money away by giving it to you, knowing that there's no way on God loving earth you're going to be able to pay me. Okay. So yeah, that's it for that story. But guys, we're about to wrap this up. I really do appreciate everyone that listened to last week's episode. Last week's episode is doing numbers. I don't know if that's the type of content you guys want me to continue to make podcast episodes on, but it seems like to me that's what y'all want to hear from me. I got some more freaky tales than that. We will get into that much, much, much later. I'm going to do an episode about those freaky moments, okay? I hope you guys listen to this podcast from start to finish. It's not what I traditionally talk about, but I felt like it was something that I needed to talk about. And I felt like this would, you know, it's like one of those podcasts, those feel good podcasts where you can just laugh at someone else's pain and sorrow. And you also got to realize, you know, man, them people went through a lot in that story. And you need to ask yourself, yeah, those people went through a lot of stuff, and you see how they done persevered over it, okay? And you shouldn't let life dictate your winning, okay? You folks, you win every time when God allows you to wake up, okay? When you wake up, you are winning, okay? You just won. You won the Super Bowl. Anything you do throughout the day is just icing on the cake. It's just icing on the cake. So I hope you guys love this episode. Rate, comment, subscribe, share with your friends, family, and followers. I'm on every app. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Google Play. I'm on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast endorsement from. I'm everywhere, okay? It's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast. I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. I will see you guys next Wednesday with a brand spanking new episode. Hope y'all thoroughly were entertained, enjoyed this episode. I'm up out of here. I'm out. Outro.